Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so weakly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this evening. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So if you will go with me all the way to Matthew's Gospel 28, let's do a quick recap on what we've been paying attention to in the last few days. Okay. We've been paying attention to a few things in the last few days. Let's do a quick recap on that. Let's do a quick recap on that this evening. So go to Matthew's Gospel 28. If you would with me, go all the way to Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In verse 19, he now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He now says, teaching them in verse 20 to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, one of the things we've paid attention to in this scripture is that the word there, power, is word authority in verse 18. And there's an authority by which Jesus will give an instruction. And so it's like upon account of an authority, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we've seen over time that by default, that narrative is actually a narrative that speaks about the 40 days teaching that Jesus will have in the book of Acts, teaching them God's word back to back. And he says in that authority, go ye and write, make disciples of every nations. That's what they teach, to make disciples of all nations. And that will be done really by teaching them to observe in verse 20, observe all things whatsoever that has been commanded. Now go to Matthew's Gospel 16. Jesus will come meet his disciples and ask, who do men really say that I am? And some will give answers about prophets from the scriptures and also John the Baptist, like some would mention as well. But Jesus will say, who do you say that I am? Then Simon will answer in verse 16 of Matthew's Gospel 16. Simon will answer, he says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Right. So we said that Jesus is building something. That's been the plan of God from the very beginning, all the way in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let me even show you that this evening. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Go all the way to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let me show you something quickly in that narrative. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Now, that in the beginning, and God created in the real sense, a good way to look at it is the beginning, more like the foundation of the world, which you call the foundation of what God is about to do on the earth, right? And how will God do what he wants to do on the earth, rather? Well, he will do that by verse 2, the Spirit of God moving. So God is in the project of building. If you go all the way to Revelation 21, right? Look at how the book of Revelation 21 ends. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, right? And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Yeah, so what did the author of the book of Revelation see? He saw a new heaven and a new earth, right? And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, right? And I, John, saw the holy city. So look at it. What did John see in Revelation 20? He saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, right? So what holy city is this that John is seeing? Well, John is seeing the building that God started right from the beginning, right? Genesis 1, yeah? In the beginning, God, what? So Genesis 1 is to show you the startup of a project. Right, so the Bible will open up with the prophecy talking about a project that God will do. Now, how will God do the project from Genesis? Right, and the Spirit of God moved. Right, so how will the Spirit of God move? The Spirit of God will move when men are preaching the gospel. We've taught this over time, right? Okay, so the Spirit of God moved, right, over the face of the deep, right? So the building that Jesus or God will be building from the beginning will be a work that will be done by the Spirit. So the building of God for in the resurrection is going to be a work that will be done by the Spirit of God. Okay, so he says, and I saw the holy city. So what will the holy city be? A new Jerusalem. All right, yeah. So what did John see? John will see the holy city, right? Look at Psalms 46. Okay, that's getting troublesome. But let's see where we'll get to. Maybe one of you has taken our time to pray this evening to get some answers to some questions, right? Right, but go all the way to Psalms 46, right? Go all the way to Psalm 46, verse 4. Psalms 46, verse 4. Go all the way to Psalms 46, verse 4. Don't forget, when Matthew's Gospel 28, when Matthew's Gospel 16, when Genesis 1, when Revelation 20, all in 5 minutes, okay? Yeah. And though the waters thereof, verse 3, roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. So the word there, Selah, in the Bible is not an ambiguous word. It just really means to pause at that point and ponder, right? So that's the word Selah. Pause and ponder. Okay, so if you go to verse 4, it says there is a river, right? The streams whereof, so it means you are getting into the narrative of verse 4 from a pause and ponder. Okay, right. So so in our world today, you know how you use full stop, even though we don't use full stop the way they use seller, right? So you pause and ponder to continue or to start up another conversation. Right, so Psalms 46, verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. So there's a river that makes glad the city of God. So does God have a city? Yes. There is a river there's a river that the streams whereof makes glad the city of God. Right? The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Are we together? Now look at verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly early. The heathen rich, the kingdoms were moved. Are we together? He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So that's another Selah. Right, so who are the those that will boast about the Lord of hosts being with us? It's the people that God is in the midst of in verse 5. So when it says God is in the midst of her, over the years we've done a series called Investigating Scriptures. We'll visit again in coming days, right? And we looked at different figures of speech in the Bible. Now we said God is in the midst of her is the figure of speech, if I'm not mistaken, in personification. Right, where you attribute human character to a non-living or living things or characteristics of living things to non-living or vice versa. Where, you know, some of us didn't really do well in English. So God is in the midst of her is not going to speak about a woman, right? God is in the midst of her will speak about a people. Are we together? How do you know it's about a people? It's really about the city of God in verse 4. Are we together? It's really about the Lord of hosts is with us in verse 7. Yeah, so a people. So the Lord of hosts is with us, a people. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our. So the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our, right? And there's a river whereof shall make glad the city of God. So the city of God will be a people. The high in verse 5 will be a people. The she in verse 5 will be a people. Yeah? God shall help her will be a people. So it means that, go to Genesis 2. Go to Genesis 2. right? Go to Genesis 2. We're in Genesis 1, yeah, but really Matthew's Gospel 16, and but really, really, truly, you know where you are, Matthew 28, okay? So go to Genesis chapter 2 and go all the way to verse 18, okay? So the Lord of hosts is our God, our refuge. Remember that, right? Yeah, the Lord of hosts is with us. Yeah, the Lord of hosts is with us and is our refuge. That's Psalms 48 in paraphrase. So look at Genesis 2, verse 18. Go all the way to Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. See, how else can you read Genesis 2, verse 18? You can say, it is not good that man should be without a refuge, right? Or it is not good that man should be without a God. Yeah, so he says, and the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So I will make him and help meet for him. Now, we said that word there is the word Izar, and that's the word, the one who defends, right? The one who supplies a need, right? Supplies a need that is lacking. Now, the help meet for him is not a woman to a husband, right? The help meet for him is the Spirit of God, the refuge that God will give to mankind. So you see him here, right? We'll speak about people, not a man. Yeah, so him there, listen to me carefully. Him here will speak about man, not a male man. Yeah, you want to go back to the series on the woman in Christ, okay? Right, so I will make him and help meet for him. The him will be a them. Look at Genesis 5. Go to Genesis 5. Go to Genesis 5. There is someone definitely troublesome on this call today that is making me get into all of this today. Right? So look at Genesis 5 verse 1. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In that day that God created man. Okay? So God created man. Look at this very well. God created man in the likeness of God created he him. Okay? So God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Look at verse 2. Male and female created he them. So the him and the man in verse 1 is actually equal to the male plus the female in verse 2. So the male and the female will be the them that are blessed and their name called what? Adam. Do you understand that? So there'll be Adam used for a people, male and female, and Adam used for the first man. Are you with me? Okay, so male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name. So their name will be Adam. Okay, their name will be Adam. Listen to what I just said right now. Their name will be Adam, right? Okay, so go back to Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Yeah, go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 13. In Genesis 2, verse 13, right? Is it verse 13 you were? Look at verse 18. So, what is verse 18 saying? And the Lord said, it is not good that Adam should be alone. Listen to that carefully. It is not good that Adam should be alone. Yeah? So, you are going to read Adam in verse 18 from the lens of Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. So, the Lord said, it is not good that Adam should be alone. I will make Adam an helpmeet for him. Right? So, who is the Adam there? The Adam there will be the male and the female in the Adam or in the man. So, the man that should not be alone is not a male man like I am. Right? It's a man, or another way you can say it is mankind. Right? So, and the Lord said, it is not good that mankind should be alone. So, what will constitute of mankind into bracket, male plus or male and female? Right, so it is not good that mankind should be alone. I will make mankind is the Izar and Izar. And the Izar there is not a woman that is helping a man. Are we together? Right? The Izar there is the Spirit of God that is used, or that will be the supplier of the need that is lacking in man. So we see, what is the state of man without the helpmeet? It is that man is alone. Yeah, but God doesn't want man to be alone. Who is the man? The man is not the male man. The man really is the female and male species found as Adam. Okay, right? Are you with me? Are you with me? Right? So go back to Psalm 46, right? Let's start closing up and go to what we want to touch today. Go back to Psalm 46 quickly. Psalms 46. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Go to Psalm 46 quickly. We should get into today's word, into today's teaching soon. Okay, so look at Psalm 46 and go back to where we really were in verse 4. So there is a river and the city whereof shall make glad Adam. Are you following? Yeah, because the city of God will be a people, in verse 7. The city of God will be a people who their God will be their refuge, in verse 7. Right? So there's a river, the streams wherefore shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. So how else can you read Psalms 46, verse 5? God is in the midst of him, right? Or God is in the midst of Adam, right? Or God is in the midst of man and woman. Right, so God is in the midst of her will be a personification to speak about a people. Yeah, for the part of the world where I come from, we say something like, I pledge to my Nigeria, my country, to be faithful, loyal, and honest, to serve Nigeria with all my strength. That's the pledge, to defend her unity, right, and uphold her. Yeah, I'm talking about a country. Are we together? Right, so God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. So who are the she that will not be moved? The she is not as much a female, just the same way the man is not as much a male in Genesis 2, right? So God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help. So who is God shall help her? It is God shall help her into bracket Adam, or God shall help Adam, or God shall help man, or God shall help mankind. Are we together? Right? So verse 7 now says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Are you following? The God of Jacob is our refuge. Okay? So Genesis 2, it says, it is not good that man should be without help. Right? So God supplies the spirit as the help that man needs so that man will not be alone. Then Psalm 46 will now tell you that God is in the... Look at it now. Look at it carefully. Genesis 2 will say God wants to... God doesn't want... troublesome. Yeah? So Psalm 46 says God shall help her. It is going, when we see that as a fulfillment, it will be a fulfillment of the prophecy of Genesis 2, where God doesn't want man to be alone, right? So God doesn't want man to be alone is the supply of the help to man in Psalm 46. We now see by the resurrection. Are you following? Are you following? Right? So we must be careful about these things, right? So wherefore shall make glad the city of God a people? So God doesn't want mankind to be alone. God now says, I will give man help meet. Are we together? Right? They help me to be the what? God himself by his spirit that is given to man. You get that, right? So God shall help them, right? That is Psalm 46 verse 5. He says, the Lord of hosts is with us or with them. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is in the midst of us. So there's a river. Right, there's a river whereby the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. She shall not be moved. Yeah, so the people shall not be moved because God has supplied the help meet to man. Okay, yeah, so go to Hebrews. I know you are Revelation, I didn't forget that. Go to Hebrews, go to Hebrews, go to Hebrews, go to Hebrews chapter 10. If you would go all the way to go to Hebrews 12. Sorry, Hebrews 12. Go to Hebrews 12 and come. I'm going to come back to 10 in the afternoon. Sorry, in the afternoon of my teaching, really. Go to Hebrews 2. Okay, so go to Hebrews chapter 12. Sorry, Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Okay, look at Hebrews 12 verse 22. It says, but ye are come, Hebrews 12 22, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city. Oh, what do you find in the city of God? There is a river wherefore shall make glad the city of God. Yeah, and that city of God, it says, God is in the midst of her, right? She shall not be moved. Okay, yeah, so, but ye are come to Mount Zion. So what is ye are come to Mount Zion for the believer? You are one who has now come into the ha of God. Yeah? You are one who has now come into the Adam of God. Yeah? What is Adam? Genesis 5, male and female alike. You must not mix it up, okay? So ye are come unto Mount Zion, that is unto the city of the living God. What did he call it in Hebrews 12 verse 22? He says, the heavenly Jerusalem, right? The heavenly Jerusalem. So the heavenly Jerusalem is another name you can call the Ha in what? In Genesis, in Psalm 46. And it's another name you can call the man that will be with the help meet in Genesis 2. Are you following me, right? So it says the heavenly Jerusalem, the number coming of angels, look at 23, qualifies it better to the general assembly. And what is that? And what is that? And the church of the firstborn, right? So the general assembly will be the church. The church of the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? Jesus Christ is the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 15. We've seen... go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let me not say we've seen. I've been saying we've seen. Some of you be saying, what have we seen? Okay? Look at Psalm 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you go all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go to verse 20. So, verse 20 now says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. So, Christ is risen from the dead and he has become the first fruits. Yeah, so Christ is risen from the dead and he has become the first fruits of them that slept. He has become the first fruit of them that slept. So Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. Okay? Yeah? So Hebrews chapter 12 now says, you have come to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. So the firstborn is the first fruit. Yeah? Look at it. See this thing. Yeah? Look at when a woman gives birth to a child. And if, look at it, when a woman gets married and the woman gives birth to a child after getting married, now the child the woman gives birth to ideally is going to be called the firstborn of the woman. Yeah, what is that to show? It is to show that from where that person came from, more can still come from there. Do you get that right? Yeah. So you can call the first child to show that the womb is alive or the womb is functional. Yeah. So this might not be the best of examples. Yeah. So you see the first child that becomes the firstborn to show their orders, right? So when he says to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, what makes Jesus the firstborn? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us is the first fruits from the dead. So from the womb of death, you see life come forth. Then from the womb of death, life comes forth. We call the first man to bring forth or show forth life the first fruit, that is the firstborn. Right, so he now says to the general assembly, so Mount Zion will be the city of the living God. So there's a river whereof shall make glad the city of living of God. In Psalm 46 is, there is a river wherefore shall make glad the what? Mount Zion of God, or Mount Zion of God. Yeah, yeah. So there's a river that shall make glad the Mount Zion of God, right? Yeah, then you now see out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's a spirit, and it says spirit of the spirit. So the spirit is the river in the middle of the city that makes glad the city of God, right? So he now calls it the heavenly Jerusalem, Hebrews 12:22. The heavenly Jerusalem. So how else can you call the city of the living God? You can say the heavenly Jerusalem, you can say Mount Zion, you can say the what? General Assembly. You can say the church of the firstborn. So the church of the firstborn is equal to the general assembly, is equal to the heavenly Jerusalem, is equal to the city of the living God, is equal to Mount Zion, and is equal to her, and is equal to him. Are you following? Yeah? Yeah. If you've not listened to me in the last 20 minutes, yeah, you can mistake her and him to be representation of male and female. But when I mean her into bracket male and female, him into bracket male and female. That is what you call Adam from Genesis 5. Are you with me? Right? So he had come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Right? So the city of the living God is the heavenly Jerusalem, is the Mount Zion, the general assembly, that is the church of the firstborn. Are you with me right now? Yeah. So how did we derive the conclusion of the firstborn? The firstborn shows that he is alive. He came alive from the land of the dead. Right? And it's to show that there are more men that whilst they are dead in their trespasses, God wants to bring them out from the bondage and the womb of death. Are we together? Right? So by the resurrection, what is God doing? God is building a people. Are we together? So the General Assembly will build the building of the people that will eventually be referred to as the city of God, the people of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, we saw it as the royal priesthood, those that will have a priesthood, and those that will be prophets, then those that will be the anointed. You see, I'm drawing a straight line from January 1st. Right? So from our teaching January 1st, I've been drawing a straight line, right? So we called, so the people of God will be the people that are prophets, the people that are the anointed, who you will now say, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You get that? So you see, you now call those same people the city of God. You call the same people ha. You call the same people him. You call the same people the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. Okay? So what is the other name for the church of the firstborn? It says the heavenly Jerusalem. All right? So go to Revelation. Let's start tying the knots, right, for what we opened up today. Go to Revelation. I don't know why I call it Revelations, right? Yeah, I think maybe because it sounds okay to me, but it's not right. Yeah, so it's the book of Revelation. So Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So what is John really seeing? Okay, hold on. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Hold on. So there's something called no more sea and there's something called river. Praise God. Right? And look at what John sees in verse 2. Revelation 21:2. And I just saw the holy city. So what John is seeing is not different from what Hebrews talks about as Mount Zion in Hebrews 12. And it's not different from what is called the city of God in Psalms 46. Right? So John saw the holy city, the city of God. What's the other name for city of God? The called out people, the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. What again can we call it? You can call it the city of the living God. You can call it the heavenly Jerusalem. You can call it the church of the firstborn. You can call it the Mount Zion. So what did John see? John saw Mount Zion. Right? What really is Mount Zion? The general assembly. That is the church. What is church? Ecclesia. That is those who are called out. So what is John seeing in Revelation 21? He called out people. What did he call it? New heaven and new earth. So heaven and earth, let's start somewhere. The new heaven and new earth of John in Revelation 21 is a people. So the new heaven and new earth that John did not see is a continent. Please listen to me carefully. Yeah? The new earth and new heaven that John did not see is a planet. What he did not see is a planet. Yeah, so he did not, let me say it differently. Yeah, so John did not refer to new heaven and new earth as a planet, right? What will he see? He will see a world with a kind of people. Or you can say he will see a city and the city will speak about a people. Yeah, so what is it? I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God or out of what? Heaven. Prepared as a bride for her husband. Hold on. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Ephesians 5, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. He says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Who is the his? The he is there is Jesus. Who is the Jesus? Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. Jesus is the first fruit from the dead. Okay? Right? So for this, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Yeah? So Genesis 2 will tell you man slept and God brought out bones. The man will say to the bones, this is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. Right? So it means in Genesis 1, 2, 3, there is the use of Adam, and Adam used for three different things. But the same word, Adam. Okay? So for this cause, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Look at verse 32. This is a great mystery. It is this thing I just said is a mystery, that which needs an explanation. So it means that when Paul is saying this thing, your mind must not look at it. Think about it. If it is something as basic as give birth to a child, child leaves the house, that's common sense because you leave your father's house to go get married. Well, but it says this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he's talking about a man that shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So who is the man? The man is his body in verse 30, his flesh in verse 30, his bones in verse 30. For this cause shall a man leave his father, right? So you will leave the privileges. So that's the way to say father and mother. Yeah? You leave privileges, right? And you shall be joined unto. Yeah? Go to Philippians. Today is really troublesome. I don't know who is doing this today, but someone is really doing this today. Go to Philippians 2. Yeah? Go to Philippians chapter 2. Yeah? Go to Philippians 2, verse, verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. Yeah, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, right, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the man leaving his father and mother. Yeah, thought it not to what you see, you leave privileges. Right, so who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself. What was he doing in all of this? He was taking a wife unto himself. So he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That is, don't forget, he says, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, even though he was in the form of God, from verse 6. Right, so he humbled himself and became obedient. Are we together? Now God has highly exalted him in verse 9 and has given unto him, or given him a name which is above every name, that at the name, remember the Bible doesn't, so this scripture doesn't say the mention, yeah, at the name of Jesus knee shall bow, yeah, of things in heaven, things in earth, and all this, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Yeah, you should see salvation message there. Well, so, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Okay, go back to Ephesians. Ephesians says, this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. For this cause shall a man live. So a man living, Jesus Christ is the man, leaving his father and mother, that is, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself. Yeah, you see what we read in Philippians 2, right? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yeah, he and he shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So Christ and the church will now become one via the resurrection. Yeah? You get that? Simple. So this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what? Christ and the church. So when you see man leave father, man leave mother, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul says, well, this is a great mystery. It's about Christ and the church. But he now says, nevertheless. So it means that don't just stop at Christ and the church. There's a nevertheless part of it. So it means that the husband and wife, a man like me leaving my parents' house to go marry a woman, is not the main deal, then Christ and the church, the nevertheless. It is Christ and the church, the main deal, then my own, the nevertheless. So nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, right? And the wife see that she reverences her husband. You get that, right? So it has told you about we are members of his body. So it means that if Jesus is the man, or Christ is the man, the wife will be the bride of the man. Okay? Yeah, go to Revelation. Revelation 21. Okay? So what did John see? He saw a holy city. And he said, a holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Yeah, so you can see husband, you can see wife. Yeah, so who will be, so remember, it's prepared as a bride, yeah, adorned for her husband. Let's not get troublesome there. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Oh, gracious Father. What does Psalm 46 say? God is in the midst of her. What is her? God is in the midst of men. So what did Paul and John see in Revelation 21? He says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with what? See, what is John explaining? John is explaining a new heaven and a new earth. So the new heaven, new earth is a way to speak about the tabernacle of God that is with men. And he will dwell with them. God is in the midst of them. God is in the midst of her. God is giving the help me to him. You see that? Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, the general assembly, the city of the living God. Yeah, the same thing. Right? So God, so if you want to find God, where will you find God? You will find God in his city. God is in the midst of her. Right? God is in the city. Right, and the tabernacle of God is with men, right, and he dwells with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Right, so the former things that are passed away will be the first heaven and first earth in verse 1 of Revelation 21 that passed away. Look at Revelation 21 verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first and the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Are we together? Right, and how will God do this work? By his spirit. Okay, so now this new heaven and new earth, there is no crying, there is no pain, for the former things have passed away. Right? And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So Revelation starts. Revelation will talk about new heaven, new earth, speak about fountain of water of life. Then Genesis will talk about heaven and earth and speak about tree of life. Well, I put it to you, Destiny is speaking about the same thing. Are we together? So the fountain of the water of life will be linked to the book of life and be linked to the tree of life, all from Genesis. Well, so let me now go to what I want to teach today. Genesis 1. Okay? Genesis 1. What an introduction. Genesis chapter 1. So, Genesis chapter 1. What is Moses seeing? Moses is seeing ahead what Jesus will do via the resurrection. Moses is seeing ahead what Jesus will do via the resurrection. So, God is doing or going to build a new. So, in the beginning of creating heaven and earth is a prophecy. Hello, the Bible, 2 Timothy 3, let's not go there. It says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, or verse 15, and that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. That's what Theophilus, right? Given by inspiration of God, and they are advantages for doctrine, right? That's for what? For teaching, for reproof, yeah? And that's what? Evidence, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly, and equipped, right, unto good works. Oh yeah. So he says that scriptures are given by inspiration to make thee wise unto salvation. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 will be a narrative to speak about a new heaven, new earth that John will talk about in Revelation 21, and it will be about the people. So when you say verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. What is the earth that was without form and void? A people. Yeah. And darkness upon the face of the deep, a people. So what solution to that? I will build my church. What is now? So how else can you say I will build my church and the Spirit of God will walk? Or there will be a work that the Spirit of God will do and will supply light. And God will say, let there be light in verse 3. And there was what? Light. Are we together? So go back to Matthew 16 where we are. Go back to Matthew 16 where we are. Matthew 16 verse 18. So it says, and I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So what is... If you've been listening to me right now, what will you put into bracket of my church for in verse 18? Number one, you know you can put him. Number two, you know you can put Adam. Number three, you know you can put her. Number four, you know you can put city of the living God. Number five, you know you can put heavenly Jerusalem. Number six, you know you can put new heaven, new earth. Number seven, you know you can put Mount Zion. Number eight, you know you can put General Assembly. Number nine, you know you can put Church of the Firstborn. Are we together? So what is I will build my church about means I will. So another way you can read Matthew 16:18 is I will build her, or I will build him. And the her and the him are not as much about gender, right? But her to speak about male and female, him to speak about male and female. So I will build my church. I will build my, so what is my church? I will build my people. I will build a people. What's the word church? A called out people. So what exactly is God building? New heaven, new earth. What is new heaven, new earth? Holy city. What is holy city? New Jerusalem. What is new Jerusalem? Heavenly Jerusalem. So I'll build my church is I will build Mount Zion. Are we together? I'll build Mount Zion. So everyone who has come into the resurrection reality now becomes, don't forget, how is God building his church? And the Spirit of God moved. Yeah, you know that song, all over the world, the Spirit is moving, all over the world, as the prophet said it to be, all over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Father as the waters cover the sea, right? Habakkuk will say, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge. He's just trying to say, I want the earth to be Mount Zion. Yeah? Yeah, I want the earth to be known as the new heaven, new earth. That is a people, a called out people, city of the living God, a heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are we together? So that's why he say, I will build my church in verse 18. The gates of hell will not prevail against, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Right? So what is the keys of the kingdom? It is the authority to preach the gospel, Matthew 28. So that you can bind and loose. So what is binding and losing? Another way to say binding and loosing is what? To build Mount Zion. So when we bind and loose, what are we doing? We are building Mount Zion. We are building the new heaven and earth. We are building the new Jerusalem. We are building heavenly Jerusalem. We are building the city of the living God. We are building the Ha of God. We are building the Him of God. We are building the mankind of God. We are building the them of God. We are building the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Are we together? So when we come into that reality, we are now those who are united by something called the Spirit of God. So Galatians 3, we say there's neither male, there's neither... Okay, go to Galatians 3:26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Are you there? Have you gone on? Galatians 3:26. So it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So what is ye are the children of God? It is, you are now my church. You get that right? You are now Mount Zion. You are now members of the new heaven, new earth. You are now members of the heavenly Jerusalem. You are now members of the Ha, in which God is in the midst of Ha. Yeah? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So there is no male, no female. Means once you come into Mount Zion, your economical status drops at the entrance. Your financial status drops at the entrance. Your marital status drops at the entrance. Your master status or slave status or chief engineer status, your doctor status drop at the entrance. What happens? You are now come into a community of people who have a uniformity, which is by the Spirit of God. All together. Look at Ephesians 2:19. So Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. You see that, right? So how else can you refer to a stranger and foreigner? It is somebody that is outside the new heaven and the new earth. Are you following? How else can you refer to a stranger? It is someone that a foreigner. It is someone that is outside the new heaven or the new earth, or someone that's outside Mount Zion. So now, therefore, ye are no more strangers. What does it mean by you are no more strangers? It is you are now members of Mount Zion. What does it mean by you are members of Mount Zion? It says you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. What is the household of God? Don't forget, 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, we started looking at the house of God that Jacob saw. All together. Yeah. So when Psalm 46 says that the God of Jacob is with us, are we together, is our refuge. Yeah. That God of Jacob, we saw that Jacob saw the house that God is building. We said the word their house. Remember that teaching? Beith, right? Remember that teaching? Beith. And we saw Beith and we saw Bethel. And we saw Bethel means Beith or Beith and Elohim. That is household of God, which can be house or a household that is people. So what did Jacob see that God is building? Jacob saw that God is building a house. What did Jacob see that God is building? Jacob saw that God is building a people. And the people shall become the house that God is building, that is the city that God is building. That is the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem which is done by the resurrection and the giving of the Spirit. Okay, so what Jacob saw is not different from what Moses spoke about in Genesis 1. Yeah. So what did Moses say? In the beginning, right? So at the foundation. So you know I told you about the foundation and the end of the world. The beginning of the world would be the starting up of the project. The end of the world would be the completion of the project. So the end of the world is as much seen in scriptures, more from the angle of the completion of the building project that God started in Genesis 1. Okay, so fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, right? And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles, right? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Look at verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation. So what has God been building from Genesis 1? A people where he will dwell. You see that? So in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. right? If you go to chapter 3, verse 14, it says in verse 14 of chapter 3, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees, making mention unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So when it says the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that will be in relation to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, is not all the names, you know, all the names people call, Mamanje, Babanje, Obanje, Kambanje, Okaranje. Yeah, no. Look at it very well. He says, "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family." So this whole family in heaven and earth is what? The whole family in the new heaven and earth. You see that, right? Is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in his spirit, in the what? Inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to what? Comprehend with all the saints. So he's saying, I bow my knees in prayer so you can understand what Joshua has been speaking about for the last 50 minutes, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. See, when you say, you can read that scripture to say, now unto him that is able to do abundantly above all that we can. Yeah, you can read it as, now unto him that is able to do exceeding above. Yeah, but the author tells you it is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world and without end. Amen. Are we together? So we are now people of a family. We are now people of a community. We are now those who are now in a relationship. And what do we call that relationship? We say we have a spiritual relationship or a supernatural relationship. What is a supernatural relationship? It is that which is of the spirit, yeah? That which brings people from various spheres of life. Male, female, born, free, master, slave, poor, rich, from all spheres of life, now coming into the heritage of the resurrection, the heritage of the spirit, that we can call ourselves what? We are now brethren, of whom Jesus himself is not ashamed to call us brethren. All together. So start looking at supernatural relationships in the last few weeks. I started talking about how, because we are led by the Spirit via the resurrection, we have or we experience and enjoy the leading of the Spirit, right, on a daily basis, in our daily activities. We looked at Paul and Barnabas. Let me recap Paul and Barnabas. We saw Barnabas as one who was, you know, mentioned in Acts chapter 4. We saw Paul as one who supervised the stoning and the killing of Stephen in Acts 7. I got an encounter in Acts 9. Then and Brother Ananias would go to Paul and pray for him to receive his sight. And Brother Ananias would say by utterance that God has called you to the lives of the Gentiles, or to the Gentiles to proclaim his word. Are we together? Then we see that by extension, Barnabas will be having another life of his own. Then Paul will get saved, and Paul will be saved into a community, but the community, because they are humans, will by default reject Paul because they knew him as one who had the authority to kill people from time. Are we together? Then Barnabas will come close to Paul and draw close to Paul. And we see that was not by any form or any way an ordinary drawing close. So they will come together and they will start doing the work of, and they'll start talking. And Barnabas will now be sent to go to Tarsus. Go to Antioch, go to Antioch, right? Then he will branch at Tarsus, you know, then he will spend 1 year with Paul and they'll be preaching. Then Acts 13 will now happen, right? And they will have the elders and the prophets in Antioch will now, in churches of Antioch, will now come together in Acts 13. The big boys, yeah, the big boys, when I mean big boys, the big men, the leaders in ministry, are we together? Then they will come together and by the Holy Ghost, they will have a believers meeting. And the summary of the believers meeting will be a conclusion. Separate, now, let me tell you something. I can tell you for free, it is not all of them that would have said together, separate, then you now see echo. No, just like Acts 2, when Peter will stand up with the 11 and he will minister the gospel to the saints to the people who came for Pentecost. Are we together? When he says Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice, not their voice, so it will be one voice after the other, but you will see a uniform. Remember, they will be in one accord in Acts 2. Altogether. So Acts 13 will happen, and they'll be in one accord, and they'll be having a believers' meeting. Then from the impressions on their heart and the promptings of the Spirit on their heart, they will say and get to a conclusion that the Spirit of God will have them to separate unto him, right, Paul and Barnabas for the work where I have called them. As at when Ananias will tell Paul, well, I'm praying for you right now, you receive your sight, but God has called you to the Gentiles. Ananias will not tell Paul, well, there's another brother you will meet on the journey, be vigilant. But Paul will be vigilant on his journey, and on that journey, he will find somebody like Barnabas, and he will align with Barnabas, and Barnabas will be sensitive enough as well, and they will align together, and it becomes the work where I have called them. Yeah, I have called them. I'll show you one very quick example again. Then we started looking at Paul and their relationships started happening. We saw in Acts 12, man you call John Mark. And John Mark would depart from John and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. And Paul will never forget that. And Paul will want Paul and Barnabas will now be in a setting where there will be this another disciple called Silas, and another one called what's the name of the other one? Is he Judas, if I'm not mistaken? Yeah. So I think Judas, yeah. Yeah. Judah, yep, I miss that name. So, Silas will rather remain, right? Then there will be another one called John Mark, who was in the picture. But Paul will say, well, I don't think we should go with John Mark. It could be that, I don't think we should go with John Mark because he left us in Acts 12 for a few years ago. Altogether, then Barnabas, the Bible will now say there was a strong contention between them, right? So why do you think the Bible writes it that way? See, look at it though. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke wrote the book of Acts. Do you know who Luke is to Paul? Luke, let me show you something. I'll show you. Yeah? Luke, look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. And 2 Timothy 4:14, sorry. 2 Timothy 4. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. This is Paul to Timothy. Demas is one of the disciples who forsook Paul. So Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia. Christians is another disciple. Then Titus to Dalmatia. So these are the spiritual sons of Paul. Then look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. So who is Luke to Paul? Luke will be one of the disciples of Paul. Right, so Luke will write the book of Acts, and in Paul, look at it though. Luke, the disciple of Paul, will write about Paul and speak about the contention between Paul and Barnabas. Yeah, it's for you to see it in clear terms. So he says, and only Luke is with me. He says, take John Mark. Mind you, this is years after. You remember on Sunday, we finished Sunday's teaching with Acts 16 when Timothy came into the picture. Then Paul will go to Corinth and Paul will meet Aquila and Priscilla. Then Timothy will now be in the picture with Silas. Remember now, Acts 16 on Sunday, right? Then Timothy will now become a spiritual son of Paul. Look at Acts 16. Look at Acts 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Are we together? So Paul will now start discipling Timothy, and Timothy will now be the spiritual son of Paul. How do we know? Go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. You see, all these things are things that you need to be able to read the Bible in details, in context, and not gloss over scriptures to be able to connect these dots together. Right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Right? So for Paul to call Timothy his son, it means that Paul is saying, when it comes to sound doctrine or doctrine, I begat you. And that's the word their son. Or I'm the one responsible for the spiritual oversight or your spiritual oversight as a disciple. You get that? Are you with me? Yeah? So Paul will call Timothy his son, right? In case you miss it in 1 Timothy, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. So he said, my son, my own son, my dearly beloved son. Are we together, right? If we go all the way to so you know, that's where you now start telling you, I'm persuaded that in the, so, okay, hold on. Look at verse 3. Paul to his son, I thank God, who myself from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Timothy was Timothy was being prayed for by his spiritual father Timothy night and day, and Paul night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. So the mother of Timothy is Eunice. The grandmother of Timothy is Lois. That means Timothy grew up as a what? A devoted, what's the word? A devout disciple. Right, of the writings of the sacred scriptures. Right, he was born into a pastor's family. Yeah, in quotes, and persuaded that in and that. So he says, this was in your grandmother. It was in Eunice, and it was and persuaded that it is in you also. 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou should steal the gift of God. Look at what he says, that thou should steal the gift of God which is in thee by the laying on of my hands. So is there such a thing called the gift of God that needs to be stirred up when hands are laid? Yes. So does something happen when hands are laid? Yes. So that's going to lead to our teaching in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. Yeah. What you call impartation, what you call putting on of hands. So if we read 1 Timothy, Paul will look at 1 Timothy. Go by 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. Is it chapter 1? Will that be? No, it can't be 1. It's probably 1 Timothy chapter. You mean chapter 4? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at 1 Timothy 4:14. Look at 1 Timothy 4:14. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise your youth. That means Timothy was a young man. Okay, Timothy was an evidently young man. So let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers. So what did Paul say to Timothy about being a youth? He says, don't let anyone despise your youth. When people despise your youth, your solution to this, to your youthfulness being discipled, is not, hey, I'm young, oh, pardon me. I'm young, oh, just let me just enjoy this phase of my life. He says, be thou an example of the believers. How? In word, in conversation, charity, spirit, in faith, in purity. Look what it says in verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to the reading. So give attendance to reading. That means Paul said to Timothy, well, till I come, give yourself to voracious study. What you will now say is 2 Timothy as study to show thyself as approved. So he says, give yourself to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. That's what teaching. Look at verse 14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the... You see that? Yeah? Neglect not the gift that is... Let me tell you something for free. Yeah? A lot happens when your pastor lays hands on you. A lot happens when your leader lays hands on you. See, a saint can lay hands on another saint, but it is different from a saint laying hands on another saint, and it is different from your pastor laying hands on you. They are two different narratives, but they are both laying hands. Okay, there's a difference when your elder, an elder, lays hand on you. Okay, so it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Look at it. With the So Paul was good in reminding Timothy that hands were laid. Yeah, Paul was good in reminding Timothy that hands were laid. Let me say that again. Paul wrote 2 letters to Timothy, and in the 2 letters, Paul reminds Timothy, bro, brother, remember that hands have been laid on you. So a lot happens when hands are laid. There is something about hands being laid. Yeah, so we'll touch it in a couple weeks. So he will say that was given to them by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. That's the elders. He now says, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear unto all. Yeah, so that's the solution to those that despise. Don't let a man despise your youthfulness. Don't forget, hands were laid on you. Yeah, there's a lot about a supernatural hand of God from your elder, from your pastor being laid on you. Yeah, we will teach that in coming days. So Paul reminds Timothy. Yeah, then Paul reminds Timothy again. Go back to 2 Timothy quickly, please. 2 Timothy, chapter. Where am I? Chapter 1. So when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that that is also in you. What is that which is also in you? It was that which was in the grandmother, in the mother. And he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. So it means that there was a level of doggedness in the life of the grandmother of Timothy, Lois. Yeah, yeah. See, happy are you when you are one who came out from a family where there is the expression of the unfeigned faith of God, right? Or the unfeigned devotion to the things of God. Happy are you. Well, but even if that doesn't exist, yeah, make yourself to be one who will create that atmosphere for the unborn children that are coming your way. All together. So I call to remember the unfeigned faith that's in you. It was your grandmother, not just your mother, it was your grandmother. He says, and I'm persuaded that it's also in you. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance. I want you to remember that thou should stir up the gift of God, which is in you. So there's the gift of God in you, which needs to be stirred off, which is in thee by the putting. That's the word laying on of my. So Paul says it. Hey, I laid hands on you. You are not ordinary again. So there's such a thing called stir. Yeah, so look at it. You see, all of us know 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Well, what is this narrative about? It's not about going to a room that is dark. And I'm not saying that God gave you fear for that one. Oh my goodness. You know, fear is a very terrible. Yeah, fear is terrible. It's demonic, it's satanic, it's not of God, definitely. But don't go through extreme to say there are 365 fear notes in the Bible. Eh? There are 365 fear notes in the Bible. Yeah, if you count all the fear notes in the Bible, including those that says do not be afraid or be ye not afraid, everything together is not up to 300. You see, there are 365 fear notes in the Bible. God gives you one per day, right? So God designed it that way because he wants you to always, you know, remember there's a fear note in the Bible per day. No, that's not true. Well, for God had not given you the spirit of fear. What is this about? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't forget, in our two previous teachings, we spoke about sound mind. We spoke about Gaius. I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in good health. Remember that teaching, right? So he said, how do you know that it's about something about the things of God? Be not thou, verse 8, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Yeah, so you don't have fear. So because you don't have fear, therefore don't be ashamed. So God has not given you the spirit of fear in verse 7. Therefore, so look at, remember, I always tell you, when you see the word therefore, be sure what it is there for. Hey. Well, so it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Yeah, so for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. On account of that, therefore, do not or be not be ashamed. Altogether. So Paul will lay hands on Timothy. Paul will know that Timothy's elders laid hands on Timothy as well. And Paul will remind him. Let me tell you something. There are things in my life that has happened the way it has happened in diverse ways and forms because of hands being laid on me. You see, when hands are laid on me, I know dates. I mark dates. If I have pictures, I have pictures. I store them. Altogether. Why? Because it brings to a lot. Yeah, we'll look at that in impartation. Go back to Acts. Acts 16. How did time get to after 8 p.m.? Yeah? How did time get to after 8 p.m.? If you go to Acts 16, right? And if you go back all the way to verse 1. So look at what it says there. It says, then Paul will come to Derbe. So this Paul, that is a spiritual son of Timothy, spiritual father of Timothy. Look at where they met. Acts 16. Then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, he said, mind you, before this, you have the Paul and Silas departing. Even on that departing, there was still something that happened that still brought Paul and Timothy, you know, together. Oh, gracious Father. You see, when Paul will want to correct the Corinthians, Paul will tell them, there's division amongst you. There's something I have taught you and you are not following. I will send my son Timothy to reteach you that thing. Yeah, but Paul and Timothy's meeting still happened on account of Paul and Silas going separate ways from Barnabas and Mark. Are we together? So it means that there's a lot about supernatural relationships that God does a lot of restoration, but a lot of times might not go as planned, or a lot of delay might occur. That's what I thought I was going to talk today, right? Using the story of Ruth and Moab and the Moabites. But we'll start it on Sunday. Yeah? Pray for us. Okay, right. So Paul and Silas will meet Timothy. Look at Acts 16 again. So Paul will come to Derbe and Lystra, and he will see a certain disciple there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess. Sorry, who was the mother? What's the name of that woman? Yeah, Paul now tells you in first and second Timothy. What was the name of the woman that is Paul's mother and Timothy's mother? Eunice, right? Remember? Yeah. And what is the grandmother? Yeah, the grandmother is what? Lois, right? So, Timothy is the son of a certain woman, Eunice, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren, and they were at Lystra and Iconium. So, he would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jew, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them to decree for to keep that they ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at what? Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Well, let's jump this narrative for now. So we see that in the real sense, Paul will now meet Timothy. Then Paul will write two letters to Timothy as a spiritual son. So Timothy will now become a... Mind you, look at it very well. So Paul will now be responsible for the spiritual, supernatural, spiritual frequency of Timothy's faith. Right? I just really mean Paul will be accountable for Timothy spiritually. Altogether. So we see John Mark will leave. We see Paul and Timothy's. Now let me show you something in Colossians. What's the devil really after? The devil is after the destruction. Mind you, can you imagine what would have happened if Paul and Silas met with Timothy? And when Paul and Silas met with Timothy, there was Barnabas and there was Mark, five of them together. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Are you here with me? Colossians 4. If you go all the way to verse 10. Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. It says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you. And Marcus. This is Paul. And Marcus. Right? So, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluted you. And Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you have received commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. Altogether. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are the circumcision. So look at what's happening there. Look at what is happening there carefully. So John Mark at a point will actually go to Peter. Let me show you that. Yeah? So John Mark at a point will come back to Paul. Did you see that? Remember, John Mark and Paul in Acts 12, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 11, Acts 12, right? They would have been together. Mark will go. Then Mark will come back. Then they will be together again. Then there will be contention between Paul and Barnabas. Then Mark will go. Then Mark will come back. How do you know Mark will come back? Look at 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. We saw that earlier. 2 Timothy 4 verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. 2 Timothy 4, 9. Demas has forsaken me. So that means Demas left. Yeah? Having loved this present world. Right? And he's departed unto Thessalonica to go and what? Green pastures. Right? That's the word you call. Okay. Christians to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. Look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. What did Paul say to Timothy? See the heart of a leader. Look at what Paul says to him. Don't forget, there was strong contention between Paul and Barnabas over Mark. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee. So Paul is saying, don't forget what his narrative about. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 9. Do your diligence to come shortly unto me. Are we together? Right? What is Paul saying to Timothy when you are coming? So Paul is saying, hey, as you are coming, bring Mark. Look at it. 2 Timothy 4:11. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. What a heart. What a heart. That is what is called believing the best of people. Let me tell you something. The separation of Peter and Paul, Paul and Mark in Acts 15. Is it Acts 13? Acts 15, right? It happened first in Acts 12. But Paul will now write it to Timothy and he will say what? See, how do you know that Paul has actually, this is not the early phase of Paul's ministry. Yeah? Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. That means Paul had done well in ministry. That means Paul was already approaching his last days in the mortal flesh. You see, I have fought a good fight. For Paul to say this, it means Paul has grown. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do your daily. So Paul is saying, my final words to you. I'm about to wrap up in the mortal body. Do your diligence and come to me. Well, from my little days of experience, I've seen that Demas has left me because he loved this world. And he has gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia. And Titus as well has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Luke is the disciple that wrote Acts. He says, but you know what? Take Mark and bring him with me, with you. For he is, oh my goodness, for he is profitable to me for the same ministry. What a heart. What a heart. My dear saints, you see, never write off any human of whom Christ died for. Never. 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 Anyone who Christ died for, Christ has not written off anyone he has died for. Never, never write off any. That is why it's unfortunate for a pastor or for a leader to feel that when a member leaves their church or a member leaves their setting, they've left the Christian faith. No, it's not always like that. It's not always true. And I think because we've built this mindset and imposed it on people, and that's what makes people get scared of wanting to go to a place where they, in quote, let's assume, think that they might be better. Let's say in quotes, altogether. You see, Mark leaving Paul doesn't mean that Mark will never be useful in the vineyard of God again. I hope you get that. You see, so it is an unhealthy mind to think and look forward for the downfall of one who leaves you as a pastor, who leaves you as a leader, who leaves you as a church. Are we together? Are you here? Paul will say to Timothy, well, Mark is not here. But bring Mark, that brother Mark, bring Mark. He didn't just say bring Mark so that I can add to the number of our church members. He says bring Mark, for he is profitable to me. He didn't just say profitable to me so he can wash plates, so he can do laundry. He says profitable to me for the ministry. He says, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So, you see, this is Elder Paul. He says, I've sent Tychicus to Ephesus. He says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when you are coming, on your way, you remember when Timothy is coming, he's coming with John Mark. He said, when you are coming, I left the cloak. He says, I left the cloak, right, in Troas with Carpus. When you are coming, branch at Troas's house, at Carpus's house in Troas. All together. And bring the clock with me and the books, but especially the parchment. So Paul will say, I have some writings I've written. I dropped them in that man's house. I trust you well enough with that material. Go there and go and pick those books and bring to me. So Paul did not have a security problem. What if Timothy now changed all my old writing and he just put his name forwarded by and he just say his name is Joshua. Joshua, you so wrote this book. No, Paul says, Timothy, I trust you. You are my son, my dearly beloved. Well, I believe in God's mighty hand upon brother Mark. Bring Mark when you're coming, for Mark is going to be profitable for me in ministry. So Mark was with Paul. Then he will now be, Mark was with Paul and Barnabas. Are we together? Remember, it is Mark's house they were praying for Peter. So it means at a point, Mark was in contact with Peter. Oh Oh, gracious Father, right? Look at 1 Peter 5:13. Let me show you something, 1 Peter 5:13. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. 1 Peter 5:13. It says, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you. And so does Marcus, my son. That's the same Mark. So at a point, Marcus now became a spiritual son of Peter. Timothy will become a spiritual son of Paul. Then Paul, oh my goodness, what an example. Paul will be so solid and grounded in his faith, in the faithfulness of God, in the things of God. And he will say, well, Mark might be Peter's son. Well, but bring Mark along with you when you're coming, for he is profitable. So Paul did not say, because Marcus is now with Peter, I don't trust what Peter is going to be teaching. Yeah, I don't trust it. If Mark is not with me, he's not with anybody. You have learned that what he's teaching. He says, the church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluted you, and so does Marcus, my son. So John Mark at the point will be with Peter. So eventually John Mark will now come back with Paul, for Paul will send Timothy to come along. Dear saints, that is where believing the best of people comes in. You must always and at every point, always and always and always keep believing the best of you, of man. Whom Christ died for. Altogether, you must keep believing the best of man whom Christ died for. And what have I used this analogies to explain? You see, there are lots of joining and cutting and joining I took you through from scriptures today, but I've tried to show you that. That's why you think that is supernatural. There's something supernatural about my relationship with you. Altogether, there's something supernatural about our relationship with you. You see, I can err tomorrow, you can err tomorrow. But much more than you erring and me erring, what matters the most is how we handle the relationship. How we handle the relationship. Are we together? How we handle the relationship. Well, we don't have so much record about what happened to Marcus's or Mark's ministry, right? Over the, you know, gallivanting and going to Pamphylia from Acts 12, and then going to Barnabas, you know. We don't have as much details. But look at Paul. Paul will now write a letter to a Timothy. Right? Who would have known? Anything could have changed. Imagine if, just think about it. I'm not saying that's what should have happened. No, but it's life. Imagine if Mark was with Paul and Paul was with Barnabas and they were all together. And for some reasons, they met Silas and they all went together. And for some reason, they met Timothy and they were all together. And for some reason, the reason why they would go their separate ways is, oh, you know, we cannot all be in one place because the earth is the Lord and God is building Mount Zion on the earth. So God sees people in their hundreds, in a large number. Okay, both of you go there, we will go here, we meet for crusade or we meet for conferences every year. We're teaching every day there, we're teaching every day here. Then, you know, what will not happen? Paul might be arrested, Barnabas arrested. Then a letter might have come out to John Mark. Altogether, a letter might have. So there's something much more than the physical relationship that we have. Don't just think of yourself in gospel as a casual stroll in the park. Don't just think about it as a coincidence that you just coincident. No, you are one who is led by the Spirit. Yeah, there are people you've met. You know when you meet someone, you cannot unmeet people. Are we together? Yeah, no matter how much you try, you've met someone, you cannot unmeet people. So what do we do with our relationship? That's why I started teaching from Absalom. Teaching from Ahithophel, right? And we said in all of those narratives, there are examples for us to see of who not to become and who to be careful about in our spiritual growth. What is the devil's plan? Devil's plan is to disconnect relationships. Altogether, there is much more about our coming together intentionally. So we have to be intentional. We have to actually give ourselves to God's word. Control the thoughts you have about people. Someone does bad to you today. Don't use that scar or that view to view every other person of whom Christ died for. In fact, even that person. Altogether, think about it though. Paul, towards the later part of his ministry, will say, bring Mark, he's profitable. Paul, at an earlier part of his ministry, will say, Mark, you left me, oh, forget, we cannot, you see growth. Yeah, why do we have the writings of the book of Acts? Bless the man called Luke, who took note of the formative years of the church, the early church. You saw they could grow. At some point, they will use water. At some point, they will do baptism. At some point, yeah, you could see them grow in knowledge. You could see them grow in the practice of their Christian faith. So you see Paul, you say, well, you, please, oh, see, If you are not for me, you are not for me. If you are not for them, you are not for them. How can you leave us that day? Because you left us that day, today you are not profitable. Paul will now say, well, I fought a good fight of faith. My brother Timothy, when you are coming, bring my brother Paul. You see, during those transitions, Paul will meet a man called Onesimus. And Onesimus will be one who offended Philemon. And Paul will say to Philemon, I trust you so much that what I say you should do towards Onesimus, you will do much more than that. Let's close in Philemon chapter 1 today. Philemon chapter 1 today. So, the Mount Zion that God is building, the new heaven, the new earth that God is building, the holy city, the city of God, the city of living God, is going to be or referred to a people who will be referred to as the bride of Christ. Are we together? God went to Philemon chapter 1. God went to Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. So, who is Timothy, our brother, in Philemon chapter 1? Is Timothy the son of Paul? Are we together? So, who wrote the book of Philemon? Paul and Timothy, the brother of Paul, that is spiritual son of Paul. So, Timothy is also a Bible writing saint. Senior brother. And Paul will say to Timothy, when Paul was telling Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youthfulness. In the real sense, you see that at the point, he was already spiritual father of Paul, of Timothy. So, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and our beloved Appia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Right? Look at it. So, what does Paul call Philemon in Philemon chapter 1, verse 2? What does Paul say to Philemon? He says, Paul is writing to Philemon and he's saying, I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved brother, a fellow laborer, and our beloved Appia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. What did Paul say about Archippus in Colossians 4? Go to Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. And say to Archippus, Colossians 4, 17. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou shalt fulfill it. What did Paul say about Philemon, about Archippus in Philemon? He says, I'm writing unto you, Philemon, and unto Appia, Archippus, fellow soldier. He calls Archippus a fellow soldier unto the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. I thank God making mention of thee always in my prayers. So Paul prays for the saint and Paul tells them he's praying for them. And Paul also doesn't just stop there. He tells them the prayer is praying for them. Yeah, that's the way Bible knowledge, Bible doctrine actually works. We'll look at that in our next series on prayer, right? Yeah, when you pray for people, there's nothing wrong in telling them you are praying for them and also nothing wrong in telling them the prayer you are praying for. Yeah, he says, I say not to pray for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Hearing of thy love and thy faith. So Paul will pray for Philemon as well, pray for Timothy. He will tell Timothy, I pray for you night and day. Hearing of thy love and thy faith, which thou hast towards the Lord, that is towards all the saints, the communication of your faith will become more effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. So Paul tells Philemon, I trust your love. I have great joy when I think about the kind of love that people say about you. Because the bowels of the saints, look at verse 7. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, that is refreshed by your love, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, right? I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus. Paul calls another son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond. So Paul will meet Onesimus, and Paul will disciple Onesimus and become a spiritual father of Onesimus, the same way he met Timothy in Derbe and Lystra, Acts 16. Are we together? Right? So whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past he was to thee unprofitable, but now he is profitable to thee and to me. So Paul uses that profitability narrative as well. You see, don't ever write off a saint. A man, really. Yeah, which in the time past was profitable to you. He now says, but now is profitable to thee. The same thing he says about Mark, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels. So Paul is saying, Philemon, you're my spiritual son. Philemon, you're a spiritual son. Well, there's a brother or there's a man who is now your brother, my brother, who did you much harm, but now he's my son and he's your brother. Then he's my brother. Right? He says, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. You see that? So Paul will say, well, even though I understand what's happening, I want you to be aware of what is happening. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. So he says, when Onesimus your slave left you, he left for a season. Now I want you to receive him forever. What is forever? Receive him into the community in which you've come into because you are a saint. Because Onesimus is now a saint. Yeah? Not now as a servant, but above a servant. A what? A brother beloved, specially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as that, as myself. That is, Paul says, receive Onesimus as if you will receive me. That's somebody who offended him. If he had wronged thee or owes thee, right, put that on my name. That means forgive him and let it be as if it's me that did it to you. I, Paul, I have written it with my own hands. I will repay it. How be it, I do not say to thee how thou owest me even thy own selves beside. So Paul is saying, well, if you want to say that you want to put his blame on me, you owe me your life. Yea, brother, let me have joy in thee. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Look at 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee. So Paul wrote to Philemon because of how sure he knew that Paul would do the word. I wrote unto thee knowing that thou will also do more than I say. But without preparing me as also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Dear salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in the Christ Jesus, Marcus. Marcus. You see the same Marcus? Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So at this point, Demas was a fellow laborer with what? Paul. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Timothy 4, 4 verse 14, verse 9 to 11, Paul will say Demas forsook him. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. You can tell that it's getting interested to see the kind of things that are coming out from scriptures. Well, I hope you've been instructed by today's teaching and you've learned something around this. Well, we'll pick it up again on Sunday. Let me just go off live and just give you some announcements quickly. Okay? On Sunday, get ready. We're coming to church and we have evangelism after church. Now, I've sent a long message to the group chat. I want you all to read that, you know, and also act on the instructions that are there, right? So we've divided ourselves into three cell groups, right? There's cell group A, cell group B, cell group C. Now, we'll be going out for evangelism in that division on Sunday, right? So make sure you come, you're ready to go out for evangelism on Sunday, right? So you have zone A, you have zone B, you have zone C. A group chat will be opened between now and tomorrow, unfailingly, by all the leaders, and they will add you to the group chat. So that's where communication will be done going forward regarding our cell meetings, right? There's going to be a prayer meeting on the 16th of March. It's going to be online by 8 p.m. And we're going to be praying for an hour ahead of the meeting rekindle. Right, so we're going to have that. Be ready to get your mics unmuted on that day, and we'll get ourselves to pray and together. On Sunday after church, we'll finish preaching. We have a longer service on Sunday. Like I told you, it will either be used for an extensive teaching meeting or it will be used for us to go for evangelism. Yeah, so but get ready to have a long Sunday on Sunday together with the saints. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful evening. I hope you've been instructed by that. We'll pick it up again on Sunday. Do well to take our time to rest, and I'll see you on Sunday morning. I love you all dearly. Have a good night. Cheers.